Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13, text 5. Pratyujjagmu praharsena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidhivat. Okay. Parispanga abhivadanai pratyug jagmu praharshena pratyug jagmu praharshena pranam tanva ivagatam pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidivat abhisangamya vidivat parishvanga bivandanai parishvanga bivandanai pratyug jagmu praharshena pranam tanva ivagatam abhisangamya vidivat parishvanga bivandanai. Others, please. Vaishnavis, ladies. That was a trick. Go ahead. Prahashena Pranam Tanva Ivagatam Visangamya Vidivat Parishvanganga Badanai Prati towards Ajagmu went. Praharshena with great delight. Pranam, life. Tanva, of the body. Eva, like. Agatam, returned. Abhisangamya, approaching. Vidivat, in due form. Parishvanga, embracing. Abhivandanai, by obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. With great delight, they all approached him, as if they had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. Purport. In the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limbs and senses become active and existence itself becomes delightful. Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. Excuse me. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. So what we're hearing about here, this is an expression actually of love for Krishna. Love for Krishna, and it's being directed. We're hearing about it as it's being directed towards a devotee of Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. See? So notice these personalities that are mentioned here, they're all very elevated devotees of Krishna. They were mentioned in the previous translation: Maharaj Yudhisthira, Kripacharya, well, Kunti, Draupadi, like that, Subhadra, Uttara. They're all very elevated personalities. And some of them very elevated devotees as well. And this is their, if they were feeling separation from Vidura, and they were very glad to see him. So, of course, some of those personalities that were mentioned here were not great elevated devotees, but I'm going to kind of focus in on at least, this aspect of it that, to feel separation from a devotee, a great devotee, like Vidura, who's obviously a pure devotee of Krishna, is very much, it's the same as feeling separation from Krishna. And actually, in some scriptures, in some places, it's said that feeling separation from a devotee or feeling love for a devotee is even more important than feeling directly trying to, feel separation from Krishna or love for Krishna. And two places come to mind. One is Lord Shiva was having a conversation with his wife, and his wife asked him what was the topmost form of worship. And Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. He said, well, actually, the topmost form of worship is worship of Lord Vishnu. But then he went on to say, but tasmat padataram devi tadiyanam samacharam. But even more exalted, even more important than the worship of Vishnu directly is the worship of that which is in relationship to Vishnu or his devotee. So that's one instance. And the other instance is Krishna himself, and I believe it's the Adi Purana, who says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is trying to be the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. See? So this worship or, placing the importance, the relationship with the devotee, it's very, very important, and that's what's being described here, talked about here. And for some of these personalities, such as Kunti, Draupadi, at least I know for sure, Maharaj Yudhisthira, I'm not sure about, others such as Subhadra or Uttara, if they were like considered very top, devotees on the topmost level, Kripacharya, I don't know. But anyway, at least for those three, they're on a very high level of devotional service. And that level of devotional service that they're on is described nicely in the chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita, text 8. Krishna says, where he's describing to Arjuna the process of, how to come to the stage of pure devotional service, and he gives Arjuna, there's a series of instructions, and the first instruction he gives Arjuna, the first suggestion he gives Arjuna is how to come to the highest stage of devotional service. He says, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. So that's the first instruction he gives, suggestion he gives to Arjuna. And all these devotees, at least those three devotees, Kunti, Draupadi, etc., who else did I mention? They were on that platform, they're absorbed in Krishna. There was no other consciousness there. They were fully Krishna conscious. Their minds were fixed on Krishna. Their intelligence was engaged in Krishna. They were living always in Krishna. No doubt, like that. And so in order to really experience this love for Krishna, in separation or in, that's which is referred to as Vipralamba Seva, or in union, Samboga, one has to, become elevated in Krishna consciousness, and one has to become elevated in devotional service. So the way to do that, of course, is if you can follow this suggestion that Krishna gives here, then you're in good shape. Just fix your mind upon Krishna without deviation, and then like that. But it's difficult. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do, to just fix your mind upon Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage your intelligence in. Krishna himself is acknowledging that, because in the very next statement he makes, he says, My dear Arjuna, winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, you'll develop a desire to attain me. So he's making a concession there. Krishna's going, okay, well, he's lowering the bar, so to speak. If you can't just fix your mind upon me without deviation, okay, follow the regulative principles of devotional service. And then you might not be able to do that. Krishna is acknowledging that maybe not even everybody's going to be able to do that. So he goes on to say, if you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. See? So the idea is that we understand what the goal is. We want to be able to be thinking of Krishna in loving devotion 24/7, 365 days a year, but there's a process, to achieve that. And so what was the consciousness, the predominant characteristic of the mentality of these devotees like Kunti and Draupadi and etc. Maharaj Yudhishthir, is that they're thinking they always want to please Krishna. That's what drives them. They want to please Krishna. At every moment, they're thinking, I want to please Krishna. And they don't have to follow any rules and regulations. They're just spontaneously thinking, I want to please Krishna. So how does that relate to us? Well, these instructions that Krishna gave have something to do. We could also try to, if somebody's very fortunate, they can also, maybe they're already thinking, how do I please Krishna? But the suggestion Krishna's making, if you're not thinking like that at this point, okay, follow these rules and regulations, follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, and you'll be able to come to that stage where you're always thinking how to please me. And then if you can't do that, then just work for me. And then you'll be able to come to this platform of always thinking how to please me. So in other words, what I'm getting at is that for us, for people like, at least for me, and maybe some of you, this is the practical platform. That's the practical expression of the elevated pure devotees always wanting to please Krishna at every moment is translating that into our level where we're at is we should be thinking, how can I help the Krishna consciousness movement? How can I help the Krishna consciousness movement? That's a practical expression of pure love for God at our level. See? And I could support that with Shastric statements. The first one I'll say is that Prabhupada said he's not different from the Krishna conscious movement. See, so those, if you're always thinking, how can I help the Krishna conscious movement? What can I do to push the Krishna consciousness movement forward. That's thinking how to serve Prabhupada. Because it's not different. Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement are non-different. See? And so it's very... and there's a couple verses like that. I mentioned one here where Krishna's saying, if you cannot follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, just try to work for me. You know, me means also the Krishna consciousness movement. Another verse that supports that is in the first canto, second chapter, text 16. I don't know if Sutta Goswami may be speaking at that point. I can't remember who's speaking, but he says, Shushusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipa Punya Tirta Nashavya. One of Savasprabhu's favorite verses. By rendering service to the pure devotee, great service is done. You see, if you're thinking and trying, how do I help the Krishna consciousness movement? Then that's rendering service to the pure devotee. The result of that is Vasudeva Katarachi. One acquires an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. In other words, that attitude, that effort, that attempt, you know, will elevate you because Krishna's within the heart. You know, the Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 11, he says, to those who are constantly devoted, always trying to help the Krishna consciousness movement and worship me with love, they're doing it like, you know, with that feeling of like, I want to help this movement. Just like somebody might feel, I want to help my nation, you know, nationalism, you know, because they're thinking, oh, I love my country, I'm going to go, I'll enlist, I'll become part of the military and serve my country. See, that same sort of feeling, I want to help the movement, you see. And it's just like, you could dovetail everything in Krishna services, says it's just that you have nationalism, we could have movementalism. You know, you could feel like that for your movement, right? Some people feel like that for their nation, some people feel like that for their family. I got to serve my family, I have to serve my nation. We could feel, I have to serve the movement, I have to try to help the Krishna conscious movement. Anyway, so the result is that as a result of that attitude, Krishna will be pleased. You know, and he says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Out of compassion for them, I who am dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And I read this couple sentences once before, but I'll read it again. Prabhupada, in his purport, commenting on that verse, he says, man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Here it comes. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth, Krishna, pleased. And by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. So that's how it works. That's how you make advancement. You try to serve the Krishna conscious movement. Try to help the Krishna conscious movement. That's being a lover. That's being a lover of the Supreme Truth. You see? And by doing that, Krishna can understand. Krishna's within the heart, and he can understand. Hey, this guy or this gal or whatever is trying to help the Krishna consciousness movement, and that's nice. I like that. And then Krishna, you know, reciprocates. He nasyami atmabhavishto jnana dipena bhashvata. He destroys the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. You know, you come out of the modes. You start advancing in spiritual consciousness. You improve in spiritual life or in devotional service as a result of that attitude and as a result of those efforts. You see? And, you know, it's something that's very natural, as I mentioned, because, like, everybody wants to serve something. You know, you want to serve something that you have affection for. Just like I gave the example of nationalism or, in the family situation. It's practical because it's practical in the sense that, you know, we're not... Once again, maybe some of you are, but I'm not. Maybe some of you aren't super elevated devotees. You know, it's not like it's natural for us to just fix our mind upon Krishna. This is a very practical level for us to engage on. It's honest and it's effective. You know, if members of the Krishna conscious movement think like that, you know, how can I help the Krishna conscious movement? Then things will, you know, things progress, things develop. I'll give some examples of what I'm talking about on three different levels. Okay, one is ways in which you can try to help the Krishna conscious movement. You can plug in to what's already going on. And so you can plug into what's already going on and try to help with activities that are already going on. And I'll give an example of somebody who did that, and it's very inspiring to me. Bhakta Ivan. He's outside now. He's doing security work. But he came to be a bhakta and didn't quite fit, and he left. And then he came back again to give it another go. And he didn't quite, wasn't quite comfortable somehow, wasn't working out, and he left. And then he came back a third time. And then I can't remember if three was the charm or four was the charm. But anyway, in his last attempt, somehow or another, he realized, hey, you know what? I could help out with the construction. And he started helping Srirag with the construction. And he loves it. You see, so he just kind of plugged into something that was already going on. And he found his niche. He found his service. And he didn't have to do that. He could have just kind of come and just... But no, he took the initiative. How can I help? What can I do? What can I do to help the situation, Plugged in there. And on top of that, he's doing security work now. And he's very happy. And, there's a fellow that I was watching him. I'd preach to him and stuff like that. And I was thinking, is this guy going to make it? I don't know, But then because there was some sincerity there. Krishna gave him that intelligence. Krishna gave him that inspiration. Hey, you could do this. You could do that. You know how to do that. Do it. Help out. Help out like that. Or help out like this. And he's doing it, and he's in ecstasy. He's solid now. He's not thinking about going home next week. He's just thinking about how he can increase his service. He's thinking about how he can become professional at security or how he can learn more things so he could help Srirag more. And, he's off and running. I mean, he's solidly situated in Krishna consciousness now. Another great example of this is a devotee named Parameshwara. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. He was a Sankirtan devotee here, and at some point he came to a crossroads, and he was kind of trying to figure out what he should do, because before he became a devotee, he had a landscaping business. He had talents and abilities in business and doing things, and so he felt a little bit like maybe stifled, just kind of being a brahmachari and going out every day and coming back and like that. So he wanted to do something a bit more. So he came up with this idea of developing a whole traveling Sankirtan program, similar to what we used to do on Radha Damodar. And he did that in consultation with authorities, Dhanavira Maharaj, like that. And then he started off from scratch, with an old 15-year-old Ford cargo van with sharp edges all over the place. And anyway, he built it up. He built it up, and to the point where, now it's at least up until last year or so, it was one of the most vibrant, buoyant, successful Sankirtan programs in the United States, and has been for, maybe a dozen years now. So there's another example of somebody who was kind of floundering a little bit there for a while, but then he just thought, wait, what can I do? What can I do to help the Krishna conscious movement? He took stock, he took inventory of what he, what talents and abilities and he had and what desires kind of, and he just did it and it worked out. Another example, I call that the hybrid example, because he kind of plugged into something that was already existing, Sankirtan activities, but he kind of put a new spin on it. Another example is our very own Amala Bhakta Maharaj here, who probably 45 years ago just decided, I don't think you can correct me if I'm wrong, he's right here, he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody told him to do Krishna productions. I don't think he got an instruction from anybody, okay, this is what you should do. He just was, he was there, he was coming to the, being a devotee, and he thought, what can I do? I want to do something more. What can I have? Well, I got this training in, how would you say it? Public speaking and, radio. He had, degrees and certain things that he knew would facilitate him doing that. So he just took the initiative, and he did that service. And, all of Prabhupada's books on audio and devotees throughout the world have enjoyed and benefited listening to them for many, many years now. So these are a few examples of that, of how when you just you make that effort, you make that effort and act upon. You have that desire. I got to help the Krishna conscious movement. As I said, it's very honest and practical and realistic for us. Because we're not, at least myself, it's not like I'm on some elevated plasma devotional service and I'm going to be able to just chant verses, No, this is grassroots, nitty-gritty, roll up your sleeve. Let me do what I can do. I've got a particular psychophysiological makeup. I have a particular karma. Krishna gave me a particular body. I was born in a particular situation, in a particular kind of, family. And so everybody's coming with a certain set of talents, abilities, advantages, that are unique to that their own personality. Use it in Krishna's service. Use it in Krishna's service. That doesn't mean becoming independent. It just means, just take initiative. Then you consult with, the appropriate people that in your life that you have to, and just generate a service out of it. Figure out how you're going to use that to help the Krishna consciousness movement. I think that's a very significant thing. And if you're feeling a little bit like, when to start off with, you're feeling, yeah, but I don't know if it's, how could I do it? Or, reluctant to get your feet wet, I'll just tell you from my own example. I had a good experience with this myself. I mean, one wasn't so good, but the other was good. Years ago, when I was in Sydney, Australia, I was asked to be vice president in charge of internal affairs. And when I asked them, I said, what's internal affairs? And they said, don't worry, you'll find out, Pratapana. I said, don't worry. Anyway, I was in charge of the cooking and the cleaning and the steady schedules and, all the stuff nobody else wanted to do, basically. I had to. But anyway, so what used to happen there sometimes is devotees didn't show up. We'd have problems when somebody wouldn't show up to cook an offering or something like that. So I had to just jump in there and do it. I had no training. Somebody taught me a few things after it happened a couple times. But anyway, I wound up loving it. I wound up loving it. I wound up, learning how to cook offerings. Maybe I shouldn't keep my mouth shut here because you never know what'll happen. But I learned how to cook offerings. I actually cooked even Raj Bhogs a few times, and it came out okay. And what to speak of, a lot of, the smaller offerings, the breakfast and the last couple offerings like that. And I even cooked breakfast for the devotees a few times in the big kitchen. This is in Sydney, Australia. And, at first I thought, no, I can't do that. But I did it. I surrendered and I plugged in, and I thought, somebody's got to do it and I'm the only one, so I got to try to do it. And it was I had that desire to try to help the Krishna conscious movement. And Krishna, he supplied the necessary talents and abilities to be able to do what I had to do. Of course, once again, as I said, it didn't happen in everything. I was asked to dress the deities twice, and both times I got fired. One time was on Ganapati Maharaj's bus on Radha Damodar. I was asked to dress Gornatar. I didn't even make it to the dressing part. I got as far as polishing them with sandalwood pulp, sandalwood and lemon juice or something, I think it was. Oh, no, tilak and lemon juice. And I got fired off the job even before I got to the point of dressing him. And another time in Sydney, Australia, I had to dress also going to tie and couldn't do that. So anyway, it doesn't always work. But no, it always works, but not everybody will be good at everything. But anyway. Yeah, so that's a very practical thing of how to come to a higher, if not the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Just think to yourself, especially younger people, we have a lot of younger men in the temple now, and it's natural for younger men to be thinking, about what's my career, be ambitious, have some ambition, and, want to achieve something. So you can dovetail that into Krishna consciousness by thinking, well, okay, what can I do? What can I do to help this movement? You wouldn't be, assuming that you like this movement, that's why you're here. You wouldn't be sitting here in this room if you didn't like what you've heard. You like the philosophy. It makes sense. It's meaningful. And you like what you've heard about Prabhupada. And you like what you're seeing here and experiencing here. So that's kind of that's kind of a form of love. It's as I said, not nationalism, but movementalism, And then just be thinking, okay, well, I fit in here, I can jive with this. I like this. So now what can I do? What can I contribute? And then just meditate on that and just make some efforts to do something about it, as I said, by talking to the appropriate people you need to talk to, and maybe developing certain talents, skills, and abilities, or refining ones you already have, and then just you do like that, and then amazing things happen. So I think I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question to comment? Prema Sankirtan. Mike for Prema Sankirtan. Okay, sure.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for nice class, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Can you give us some reason, some, I can say, some points for younger and especially actually for older devotee, why is it difficult to be on that higher stage of devotional service, to always think about Krishna? Give me some example, give me some reason. Why is it so difficult?
Well, we're very fallen.
Elaborate a little bit about that.
Just a second,
I didn't finish, because process is so powerful. Prabhupada said in many lectures I hear that process is very powerful, and if you really surrender, then actually it's not so easy. So can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, it's not a contradiction. It's kind of, I'm not trying to indicate that the process doesn't work or anything like that. It does, and there are, I mean, I can think of a lot of devotees who, in my mind, are on a very high level of devotional service, Krishna consciousness. But I just was, wanting to make the point that this is also something that we can, that's bona fide, and it doesn't go against. It's not something that's, I'm suggesting that you do in opposition or, to what Prabhupada is, the regulative principles, et cetera, but in addition to, in conjunction with, So, yeah, you can become a very elevated devotee by chanting and hearing and reading, and it's a perfectly, bona fide process. It works, and there's many examples of how it has worked in our society. But in addition to that, if somebody's feeling that I'm doing that and I feel like I want to, this is something you can, I just wanted to throw that out there, what I said, so that, devotees could know that's also bona fide, to be thinking in terms of, in a very practical way, how I can help the Krishna consciousness movement. It's another example comes to my mind, Ratna Bhushan. So Ratna Bhushan, everybody knows Ratna Bhushan, he's not a great sadhaka. But he chants his 16 rounds, follows the four great principles, and then he just works. He does so many different things, because that was his nature. His nature is like that, and he just has done so many amazing things to help the Krishna consciousness movement. And, he's appreciated. He's appreciated as a solid devotee because of that. I mean, he builds Rath Yatra carts, he's made the mridangas, he's been cooking the Sunday feast for 36 years, he fixes everything under the face of the, on earth like that. So, that's there too, that in addition to being serious about chanting and hearing and following the regulative principles, one can also be thinking about, okay, is there something I can do? Me particularly, that I'd like to do, that I can do, that I want to do, to help the Krishna consciousness movement, and that's bona fide, and I think it could be very powerful for that person and for helping the movement as well. Does that clarify it a bit? Yeah, Amal Bhakti Maharaj wanted to say something.
Thank you for a nice class, everybody. A lot of many nice points made, and especially the encouragement of devotees to want to try their very best, even if it's not great, 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 but whatever it is, and it's done with love and devotion, Krishna accepts it, not only accepts it, but reciprocates with it, so that the devotee can continue in this process that you were mentioning of gradual growth, going higher and higher. However, I want to make one very important point, I think, and it has to do with a phrase that you continue to use, and I think it's a phrase that devotees have to destroy from their minds, and that is this phrase that I'm going to help this movement. I'm going to help it. I'm going to enable it. I'm going to foster its growth, its development. I. This is the killer of so many devotees, sannyasis, gurus, GBCs. I can do this, I can do that. After you maintain this mentality for a certain period of time, you actually come to believe, and I've heard so many say, you know, it was by my efforts that this floor got done. It was by my efforts that a million books got distributed. It was by what I did that these deities went up. I. We are putting the carriage before the horse. And I hate to use the word horse in reference to Krishna, but in this case, it's the analogy holds up very well. As soon as we begin to think that we are the doer, I'm going to help the movement, I'm going to enable the movement, I'm going to assist Savas, I. The pride grows, the same kind of pride that Lord Indra developed by thinking that I make the rain, I'm ahead of the demigods, I'm ahead of this little 7-year-old boy. I'm bigger than him. Who is he to stop my sacrifice? This egotism is the destroyer of individual devotees, and it destroys the whole movement. So what should we be doing? The first thing, and we learn this from all of our great devotees, I'm nothing. I'm full of failings. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I make mistakes. If it weren't for who? Krishna, I wouldn't eat. If it weren't for Krishna, I wouldn't sleep. If it weren't for Krishna, I couldn't even get married. If it weren't for Krishna, I couldn't do all of the things that I have to do. I use my hands by Krishna's grace. I use my eyes by Krishna's grace. There's so many people don't have use of their eyes today. And by Krishna's grace, every one of us here are using our eyes. That is a grace. We're hearing. That is a grace. It's not coming just by itself. There are thousands, if not millions, of people who don't have this. Therefore, we cannot do one spot, one mite of Krishna conscious activity without the grace of Krishna. That means He gives us the strength. He gives us the love. He gives us the devotion. He gives us the dedication. He gives us the strength. He gives us the willingness. He gives us the wantingness. Therefore, when we omit and say, I'm going to help this movement, instead of I'm going to beg Krishna, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-strengthening, all-giving, who can do anything and everything, I'm going to beg Krishna to help this fallen, wretched, worthless, useless, good-for-nothing to do a little service for him, then I'm on the right track. So many millions of people are not here and they got the books. Why? Well, maybe we're not praying hard enough for them. Maybe we didn't put the right seed. We gave them the book and told them it's a great book, can do wonderful things, but we haven't gone further enough to let them know how it has transformed our lives so significantly and considerably that the person becomes so convinced that he's got to read this before the newspaper when he gets home. We need to motivate people. How do you motivate people? We need to appreciate what Krishna is doing for us. And once we understand that, that's how we develop love for Krishna. Krishna is enabling me to eat. Krishna is enabling me to walk like I could hardly walk a few days ago. Then slowly but surely my leg got better. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Without your mercy, it would never have gotten better. And I'm thinking like this. And that's the way. And when it fully got better, I didn't say, well, I put this ointment on. I did all this massaging. That's not the cure. Prabhupada says a great physician may work on a patient, do such perfect surgery, and the person can die. Without the hand of Krishna, nothing really happens. So, instead of thinking, I'm going to help this movement, I'm going to help Savas, I'm going to help Prabhupada, no. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be a better beggar to Krishna to assist in his mission. I'm going to beg him to please give me the energy, give me the strength, give me the guidance, because you don't have to give it to me. It's your choice to give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, no matter how much I try, no matter how many hours I put in, nothing is going to happen. But when Krishna sees we have a humble attitude, when he sees us begging and calling out and admitting our weakness, our limitations, that we really can't do anything without his grace, he likes that. Because it puts everything on a proper par, and it allows us to appreciate all that is coming out of us as coming from Krishna. Not, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Did you hear about what I did? Did you? No, that's not the path. That's the path that has caused this movement to go downhill. And if you want it to go uphill, you put the horse before the carriage, not the carriage before the horse. The carriage doesn't move unless the horse drags it. Okay? We don't perform any useful, beneficial, helpful devotee if we're bragging, if we're thinking we're wonderful, if we're thinking we're great, if we're thinking this movement could hardly get along. Well, not this temple is really rolling on my wheels. If we're thinking like that, this is not Krishna consciousness. It's not Krishna consciousness. It's got to be Krishna consciousness when we put Krishna first. So what do? My dear Lord, I'm incapable. I have difficulties. I have doubts. I have so many weaknesses, so many failings, which how can I accomplish anything? But by your grace, anything and all things can happen. And I will depend upon it. And when those things happen, I will ascribe them to your mercy and not to my helping the temple. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say anything?
Sorry, I got a little noisy there, but help it.
Thank you for a very nice, and thank you, Amala Bhaktamar. It's just a small thing, but I always like to remember Prabhupada in a lecture that we often hear on the altar. He says that never think that the person who is cleaning the temple is any different from the person who's dressing the deity. That service is absolute. So all the whatever talent or whatever ability or whatever, if we're just doing what we're supposed to do, then that will please Krishna, what we've been assigned to do.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Congratulations, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.